One of the questions that frequently come up is, how do you know that God has actually forgiven you? People make mistakes. They fall into sins. And though they struggle back out of those sins, they still wonder whether God would ever or could ever forgive them, such a sinner as themselves. And perhaps God has totally rejected them because they went too far, or they did too much damage. Or sometimes they look at themselves and say, well, I did it on purpose. They can't accept themselves, and so they wonder, well, why should God accept me? Now, in our scripture reading that we had from Romans chapter 5, we will be coming back to that frequently. So if you want to put a marker in your Bibles for a moment, we'll be talking about Romans 5. But in verse 1 of Romans 5, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have peace with God. It comes when we put our trust, our faith in Jesus. In fact, when Jesus came into this world and at his birth, it was announced in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And in verse 13, and suddenly there appeared angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Christ came to bring peace to mankind, peace with God. And that's what Jesus offered his own disciples. If you think about it, you know, just prior to Jesus' death, Jesus warned his disciples that they were going to abandon him at a very critical time. In fact, in Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26, and starting at verse 31, says, then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me in this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. And then he was arrested. In verse 56 of the same chapter. And they all scattered. And it says, and all this took place to fulfill the scriptures of the prophets. Then all the disciples left him and fled. Imagine that. Abandoning Christ at his most critical hour, and having that on your conscience. And Peter, despite all his protests, denies Christ three times. And down in verse 73 of the same chapter, a little later, the bystander came up and said to Peter, surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. And he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus said, behold, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. I can imagine, no way would Jesus forgive that behavior, right? To abandon him at his most critical time. And yet, after Jesus' resurrection, in John chapter 20, John chapter 20 and verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, And when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Jesus was there to offer peace. Yes, the disciples failed, but it wasn't a permanent failure. And we too can be accepted back in God's peace. We can stand in God's grace. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through whom also we have attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. The faith in Jesus gives us access to God's grace. It's not just a one-shot gift that saves us, but is a gift in which becomes our very foundation of life. In Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That gift, that grace that God has offered to us, comes to us through the message of the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So we can have access to Christ's gift, that grace that can save us, and which we can then have a foundation and stand firm. But it says, if we do his will. In fact, John says in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. We walk in the light, Jesus' sacrifice cleanses us from sin. And that's not to say that we won't stumble. In fact, John goes on to say, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If we take our stand in righteousness and renounce our sins, Jesus is offering to forgive us, to advocate for us, to make us at peace with God. We fail, but God is able to make us stand. In fact, in Romans chapter 14, Romans 14 and verse 14, I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Oops, I got the wrong verse. Verse 4, Romans 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And thus, as we go on in Romans chapter 5, and in verse 3, or actually let's back up to we'll start with verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we realize we have peace with God through Jesus, and we stand in God's grace, then we can rejoice in hope. Instead of looking at my poor abilities to do what God has asked me to do and getting discouraged, instead I'm standing in God's grace. And I realize despite my failures, God will forgive me. God will cleanse me. And he'll keep me safe. It is a joy that's so strong it survives hardships, attacks, criticisms, persecutions, whatever the world throws at us, our joy doesn't waver. In fact, James says in James chapter 1, and in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So instead of looking at life and the hard times that come as failures, we look at it as opportunities to grow. It's not that the situation itself creates the happiness. It's the trust in God, that we are saved by his grace, that can bring us joy. And as we continue on in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 8, it says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we're saved from God's wrath. God's wrath comes upon people who have disobeyed him, who have failed to follow what God has said. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and starting at verse 8. I'm sorry, 5 verse 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. But for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. It's not that we might not stumble at times, but we don't stay in sin. We work to get out of sin. God's wrath is against those who remain in sin. And God's wrath is shown against the ungodly and the unrighteous, as stated in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed against heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Those who are not following after God, they're not God-like. Those who are living evil, breaking God's laws. Each of us sin, and each of us deserve to face God's anger. But God went out of his way to show us love. In John chapter 3 and in verse 16, John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And again, it's not because we're deserving. In fact, just the opposite. Going back to Romans again, Romans 5, verse 6. "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that's the point we need to realize. When we say we don't deserve to be saved, well, in a sense, we're rejecting God's grace and his love toward us. God's offering us salvation, but we can turn it away. But when we trust in Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, the gracious gift that God has offered us, then while I don't deserve it, I can have peace and I can have joy. The anger is removed and we are reconciled to God. Take a look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. "Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." God has worked to bring about peace. He's worked to bring about reconciliation. But that gift has to be accepted by putting on Christ's death. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." And we may stumble, as we mentioned in 1 John. We may sin, but we can be cleansed. Again, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." John continues in chapter 2, he says, "My little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he has walked." There's a chance for us today to do as God has said, to obey Christ, to follow His will. That's all God is asking of us. Not perfect keeping, but the attempts to try to do what He desires and working on our lives to improve ourselves and mature ourselves in Christ. And then we can have peace. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone who is not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to begin that process. And if you are a child of God and would like to pray as your brother on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.